And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Pope Francis has blocked a move by German bishops to allow Protestants married to Roman Catholics to receive communion in Catholic churches, a prospect that had alarmed conservatives. The issue had sparked major debate in Germany, where Martin Luther sparked the split in Western Christianity 500 years ago. Even German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier, a Lutheran, has entered the debate. The Pope's decision was made known in a letter by Archbishop Louis Ladaria, head of the Vatican's doctrinal office, to Cardinal Reinhard Marx, head of the German Bishops' Conference. It was reported by the German Catholic news agency Cath.net on Monday, and the Vatican confirmed its authenticity. A majority of German bishops voted this year to publish guidelines that would have made it easier for Protestants to receive Catholic communion, bread and sometimes wine that have been consecrated. Catholics believe that these become the body and blood of Christ. Some Protestants, notably Lutherans, say Christ is present in the sacrament. Protestants are currently allowed to receive Catholic communion only in extreme circumstances, such as when they are in danger of death. The German bishops, who supported what is known as intercommunion in marriages between Catholics and Protestants, argued that it was the compassionate thing to do. Steinmeier, who is married to a Catholic, also supported that view. But seven conservative bishops were opposed, saying that communion was central to the Catholic faith and that the issue should not be decided by local churches. In the letter, written with the Pope's approval, Ladaria says the German document raises problems of notable relevance for the whole church around the world. Catholic conservatives in other countries had also argued that such a change would dilute Catholic identity and confuse the faithful. Archbishop Charles Chaput of Philadelphia wrote that it would be the first stage in opening communion to all Protestants, since marriage ultimately provides no unique reason to allow communion for non-Catholics. The Bible Society has been fined £100,000 over computer security failings that allowed hackers to access the personal details of more than 400,000 mainly Christian backers. The Information Commissioner's Office, the ICO, said the details of supporters, including home addresses, telephone numbers and bank accounts, were compromised by cyber attackers who guessed the weak password of one of the charity's databases. The password was the same as the username on the account, set up in 2009, but not hacked until November 2016. The account contained details of 417,000 Bible Society supporters. The ICO complained, in issuing the large fine, that the cyber attack caused distress because the religious belief of the 417,000 supporters could be inferred. The fine is particularly embarrassing for the Bible Society, which is one of the most distinguished charities in the UK. It had been operating for more than 200 years, distributing and promoting the Bible in the UK and overseas, while its patron is Her Majesty the Queen. But a source close to the charity complained that the ICO had issued an arbitrarily large fine in punishment and had wrongly concluded that the Christian beliefs of its supporters was something they would wish to remain private. But Steve Eckersley, the ICO's head of enforcement, said the Bible Society failed to protect a significant amount of personal data and exposed its supporters to possible financial or identity fraud. Our investigation determined that it is likely that the religious belief of the 470,000 supporters could be inferred, and that distress this kind of breach can cause cannot be underestimated. Cyber attacks will happen, that's just a fact, and we fully accept that they are a criminal act, but organisations need to have a strong security measures in place to make it as difficult as possible for intruders. According to the ICO, one or more attackers exploited the vulnerability by using brute force to guess the weak password. Then, on December 1, 2016, the attackers deployed ransomware that encrypted 1 million shared files held on the Bible Society's open network. Ransomware allowed hackers to hold organizations to ransom by offering to unlock the encrypted data in exchange for money. The files included 1,020 payment card details that included card numbers and start and end dates, 27,800 bank details with sort code and account numbers, and contact details of more than 400,000 supporters. The ransomware also had the capability of stealing files from the Bible Society computer network. The ICO, the authority which prosecutes data breaches, concluded that the cyber attack was likely to cause substantial damage or substantial distress, and that the hackers had likely deliberately targeted the charity in an attempt to hold it to ransom. The Bible Society said in a statement it was a victim of a criminal ransomware attack, and that the incident occurred because of a vulnerability in a single isolated account which had been overlooked. It went on, no other Bible Society account was or could have been compromised by the attack, as robust cybersecurity measures were and remain in place across the organization. At no point did this breach involve or affect our website or associated online Bible Society accounts. The Society said it acknowledged from the outset the significance of the data security incident, and we have taken it very seriously. But it also pointed out that it had not received a single report of a breach of any supporters' accounts, while there is no evidence of any material effect on supporters. The Bible Society has already paid the fine, receiving a 20% discount for early payment. It insisted that no donations were used to pay the discounted £80,000 fine. A renowned author may become England's first saint for 300 years after Catholic couples claimed he answered their prayers for miracle children. G.K. Chesterton is best known for his short stories featuring the character Father Brown, a crime-solving priest loosely based on the man who was involved in his conversion to Catholicism in 1922. But now he could become England's first Roman Catholic saint since the 17th century, after an official report examining the strength of his case is published next month. The Daily Telegraph understands that the document, commissioned by the Bishop of Northampton, will show that Catholics are praying to Chesterton and asking for intercession, his intervention in their own lives. It will also dispute claims that Chesterton held anti-Semitic views and used Jewish character tropes in his work. After the report is published, the bishop will decide whether to open a cause with the Vatican, which begins the formal investigation into the extent of Chesterton's holiness and the sanctity of his life. Pope Francis may look favourably on the application, having reportedly been a member of G.K. Chesterton's society in his home country of Argentina. At a later stage of the canonization process, the Vatican will look for evidence that he has performed posthumous miracles by answering prayers. The report's findings show that infertile couples in particular are said to have singled out Chesterton, himself childless, to ask for miracle conceptions, said Canon John Udris, who compiled the report. Very interestingly, I've noticed people saying that they are praying for him, he said. Because they didn't have any children, Francis and Gilbert Chesterton, so they are finding him as a bit of a go-to person, if, for example, a couple is infertile and looking to have a child. Miracles will be, if the cause is open down the line, what will people be looking for? And of course, people have already been feeding back, Canon Udris said. Chesterton was an eminent writer and produced hundreds of stories, books, essays and plays. His works of Christian apologetics are highly regarded, and he was eventually knighted by Pope Pius XI before his death in 1936. Opponents of G.K. Chesterton's canonization point to alleged anti-Semitic views he expressed in his lifetime, including the presentation of Jews as greedy or cowardly in his literary works. Later in his life, Chesterton said that Jews should have to wear distinctive dress so they could be identified, and opposed the defendant Alfred Dreyfus in a trial which wildly perceived to be an anti-Semitic miscarriage of justice. Canon Udris told the Daily Telegraph that while presenting the views of people who have had hesitations, reservations, and actually who are dead set against the cause, is crucial to his report. His personal view is that there wasn't a racist bone in his body. I won't be making any recommendations, though he, Bishop Dole, knows, and I've made no bones about my personal hopes that this cause will be opened, he said. The last English saints to be canonised were the so-called 40 martyrs of England and Wales who were executed for treason and related offences between 1535 and 1679. Although the 17th century martyrs were recognised by Pope Paul VI only in 1970, if Chesterton's cause is successful, he will be the first English saint to have lived for more than 300 years. The process of canonization must begin at least 5 years after a person's death, except for any exceptional circumstances decided by the Pope, such as the canonization of Mother Teresa. It usually takes at least 50 years, and the Vatican must find evidence that at least two miracles have been performed. Chesterton's grave is in Beaconsfield, Buckinghamshire, and has become a landmark of local interest, although Canon Udris said that residents wouldn't have conceived of him in any sense as a candidate for a sainthood, and that much of the pressure for his canonization has come from abroad. Members of the Argentinian Chesterton Society and supporters in the United States and Canada were the first to petition the Bishop of Northampton to begin the canonization process in 2013. Growing secularization is leading to an increase in violence and verbal abuse against Christian clergy, experts fear. Priests told of experiences, including discovering a witchcraft symbol sprayed on a church door and being followed home as academics launched a mass survey of priests to find out the scale of the problem. There are also concerns that sex abuse scandals and a growing number of female clergy is contributing to a growth in threats and violence against priests. Academics at Royal Holloway University of London are to survey around 7,000 Church of England clergy using £5,000 in funding from the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government. The survey, which is to be circulated online this month, will ask clergy whether they have experienced verbal abuse, threats or physical violence in the last 2 years, and how often church property is damaged. Respondents will also be asked whether they have received abuse online and whether more violence is carried out against clergy now that almost a third of them are women. 4 Church of England priests have been murdered since 1997, and a previous survey that looked at violence against clergy, published by Royal Holloway in 2000, found that 12% of hurt clergy had been assaulted in the previous 2 years. Professor John Gabe at Royal Holloway School of Law said the survey was concerned about the declining status of clergy as well as increasing secularization and whether that it is impacting on the respect that clergy now receive. He said there was a possibility that the influence of sex abuse scandals and cover-ups had affected the way clergy felt about the church. Nick Tolson, director of National Church Watch, which is also involved in the survey and which records hate crime incidents against churches and clergy, said it also asked clergy whether factors were involved such as drug abuse, mental illness or anti-Christian sentiments. The Reverend David McGough, the vicar of Glastonbury, told the Sunday Telegraph that he receives verbal abuse on a monthly basis. 5 years ago, he found a witchcraft symbol sprayed onto the church's medieval door, and he recounted how, during one service, he had to lock himself in an upper room and dialed 999 after a man claiming to be Jesus chased him around the church. "People come in before and during the service and rant and rave, saying we are the works of Satan," the Reverend McGough said, adding that there was no support system for clergy in his position. The Venerable Anne Gell, Archdeacon of Wells in the Vicar's Diocese, said, "Over the past 10 to 15 years, the diocese has invested time and resources to help ensure our clergy are less vulnerable and isolated. The aim is to have help and support on hand whenever our clergy should need it." The Reverend Dr. Anne Morris, Vicar of Newsdon in the Diocese of Blackburn, said, "A male parishioner who was later jailed for assault following an unrelated incident followed her for a week and tried to enter the vicarage without permission. I was in by myself and I was absolutely terrified," she said. Her family had also been burgled several times, and her diocese had provided a camera over the vicarage front door and extra fencing around the exterior of the building. A Church of England spokesman said, "We take the welfare and safety of our clergy very seriously indeed. Verbal abuse, threats or assaults are completely unacceptable, and we would urge clergy subjected to these kinds of incidents to report this to the police and their diocese." In another sign of a world gone mad, Bible students have been warned that they may see distressing images while studying the crucifixion of Jesus. Universities are issuing a range of warnings to students in case they feel the need to leave lessons due to graphic content. Others include veterinary students being warned that they will be working with dead mice, archaeology students that they will see a skeleton, and forensic science pupils that they will be studying blood. Critics say the move will create a snowflake generation of students unable to cope with the world. The University of Glasgow, part of the elite Russell Group, has introduced the warnings to its theology students studying Creation to Apocalypse, Introduction to the Bible, Level 1. In one lecture about Jesus, it warns students it contains graphic scenes of the crucifixion, adding that it would be flagged up to students beforehand. The same centre has issued warnings to its veterinary students who work with dead animals, and those studying contemporary society who will be discussing illness and violence. It has defended the move, saying it is to protect pupils' mental health. A spokesman for Glasgow University said, "We have an absolute duty of care to all of our students, and where it is felt course material may cause potential upset or concern, warnings may be given." Christians in Western Europe are less accepting of immigrants and non-Christians and people without religious affiliations, a study published last week that was based on a 15-country survey has found. The Pew Research Center report revealed that Christians, whether or not they are churchgoers, are more likely than Western Europeans who don't identify with their religion to express negative views of Muslims, Jews and migrants. They also are more inclined to think their country's culture and values are superior. On balance, more respondents say immigrants are honest and hard-working than say the opposite, the study's authors write. But a clear pattern emerges. Both church-attending and non-practicing Christians are more likely than religious unaffiliated adults in Western Europe to voice anti-immigrant and anti-minority views. The study was based on a telephone survey of 24,599 randomly selected adults in the 15 countries. Pew researchers compared the attitudes of respondents who described themselves as practicing Christians, non-practicing Christians, and religiously unaffiliated, including atheists and agnostics. One of their findings was that ethnic Europeans as a whole hold mixed views on whether Islam is compatible with their country's values and culture. In Britain, 45% of church-going Christians and 47% of non-practicing Christians agreed with the statement that Islam is fundamentally incompatible with our values and culture, the survey showed. Among non-religious Britons, 30% shared that view. In France, nearly three-quarters of Christians who attend church, or 72%, agreed it was important to have French ancestry to be truly French. Among non-practicing Christians, 52% took this position, compared to 43% of those without religious affiliations. The survey was conducted during April to August 2017, after more than 2.3 million migrants and refugees had entered Europe during the previous 2 years, according to the European Border Control Agency Frontex. Some European countries, including Germany and Italy, have seen an anti-immigration backlash and nationalist political parties gaining support. The survey found that Swedes were the least likely to express anti-migrant and anti-minority views, while Italians were the most likely. Undercurrents of discomfort with multiculturalism are evident in Western European societies, the researchers wrote in the report. Although Muslim newcomers have been the focus of far-right candidates appealing for votes and activist campaigns to seal Europe's borders, the survey also asked about attitudes towards Jews in Western Europe. For example, 36% of Italians, more than in any other country, agreed with the statement that Jews always overstate how much they have suffered, compared to the 11% of Swedes who did. One quarter of all the respondents in Italy, Christian and non-religious combined, said they would not be willing to accept a Jew as a family member. The comparable figure in Britain was 23%, in Austria 21%, and 29% in Germany. However, anti-Muslim sentiment exceeded anti-Semitism in every country. By comparison, 43% in Italy, 36% in Britain, 34% in Austria, and 33% in Germany said they would be unwilling to accept a Muslim as a family member. A hotly debated question in some parts of Europe is whether a Muslim woman should be prohibited from wearing concealing garments such as burqas. Most of the adults Pew surveyed supported at least some restrictions on religious dress. Some 30% of those surveyed in Italy, 28% in Belgium, and 24% in both Germany and Austria agreed that Muslim women should not be allowed to wear any religious clothing. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.